Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Harry Potter movie made, what, $93 million this past weekend, and it is, I guess it's a record breaker on a number of levels. This, the film made from the J.K. Rowling's books of featuring the exploits of Harry Potter, the young boy turned wizard. And we wanted to talk about children's books, the enterprise of writing them, with another children's author, Robert Greene, who wrote a trilogy, I think, called the Mystical Mountain Trilogy. And he's joining us on our newsmaker line from San Diego. And Bob, how are you?
I'm very fine, Phil. Thank you.
We're talking about children's books, how to write them. The Harry Potter book, this is like something, this is the most successful kids' book ever, right?
It's fine. I think J.K. Rowling benefited from a publishing world that, keep in mind that J.K. Rowling was a welfare mother, and I don't think that too many people talk about this as much as they should.
Okay, she was a welfare mother, you know, trying to make a living, right?
Yeah, she was a woman who had the choice between being on welfare or workfare, and workfare is what they do when they try to get people off of welfare. So she obviously didn't have much of a choice, and got lucky with this series of books.
Yeah, but this is more than luck. This is an astounding series. This is an astounding literary achievement from the standpoint of children's books, isn't it?
Well, let's take, for instance, what I wrote Mystical Mountain in 1989. That's 1 year before this woman, Rowling, thought up, you know, this Potter kid. So it's just the breaks.
And what was Mystical Mountain about?
It was the Mystical Mountain Trilogy.
Right, the Mystical Mountain Trilogy. What was that about?
Well, I thought it was pretty, it was better than the Harry Potter deal. My hero was a kid named Billy Fisher who decides to go looking for, a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And he meets up with seven trolls who tell him they'll go with him, and so they go off. And they meet up with the wizard Mortimus, who gives them the key to the dark forest. And then he goes, and, you know, there's a witch who tries to eat him and his sister, and they go to a tower. There's a girl there named, I don't remember her name, but she was a girl in a tower with long hair. And
The point of the book is what? The boy is looking for what?
The boy, Billy Fisher, is looking for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, which is something that, whenever you see a rainbow, people say there's a pot of gold at the end of it. So he's on his way to go look for it.
And he's got seven trolls with him. Now, this book is unpublished, right?
This book that I worked on is unpublished because along came this J.K. Rowling, and because she was a woman having a very difficult time making ends meet, having a difficult time getting off of welfare, she got her foot in the door. And because I was a male author and I'd been working on a variety of different ideas, I didn't quite get the attention of the publishers. So it's the luck of the draw. And
well, is this luck or is this really a pretty interesting achievement?
Well, I think we have to be careful not to overstate what J.K. Rowling did. My book, The Mystical Mountain Trilogy, is, in my opinion, every bit as interesting and as imaginative as J.K. Rowling, you know, this Potter kid. But because she had this, what we call in the business, the PWS, which is the poor woman syndrome, you know, there's a lot of...
Well, it sounds to me like you're kind of downplaying her achievements by saying, well, she was on welfare and she had to go on workfare, and so she wrote this book, and it just happened to be lucky.
Well, I think it was.
You think it's luck. You're describing your book as having been written a year before her book, but your book to me sounds like... I don't know.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, it doesn't sound any better or any worse.
I don't understand. My book had it all. I had trolls, I had magic, I had gold, I had witches, everything that Harry Potter had. Rowling benefited from the workfare deal. My book gets kids to read. And not only that, my book helps children with their math because we put the price right on the cover so the kids, you know, when they go into the store, they add that up in the tax. Plus, my kid was American. Billy Fisher was American, not some British kid who was always drinking tea. I had a job when I wrote mine. So put it all together.
Well, we're putting it all together, and you feel that you were unfairly treated by the publishing business to the point where you think that J.K. Rowling's achievement is not that great?
No, not when you compare it to my book or anybody else's. What's the difference between Harry Potter and my book? My book had witches. My guy, Billy Fisher, he went and battled you know, devils and witches and stuff like that. And then
but isn't the Harry Potter thing, your book describes witches and devils and...
Well, all of these kids' books, it's all about magic and going off into the forest and finding a dwarf or something that's evil. I had evil dwarves throughout the whole book. What I don't want to say this, but I think I have to. J.K. Rowling could have used the old, she could have used that old be and publish routine that so many authors use. And
I don't understand what be and publish.
Well, I can't be. I don't want to be specific.
All right, we're talking here with Robert Greene. So we're not just talking about her book. We're talking about your book.
Well, a lot of guys' books. A lot of men who tried to get a good quality kids' book published, but along comes, some woman on welfare.
Right. You know, all right, our number is 1-800-449-8686.
What? I'll answer any question you got.
Well, I've got a few. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene, the author of the Mystic Mountain Trilogy, or the Mystical.
Mystical Mountain.
Mystical Mountain Trilogy, about how J.K. Rowling essentially got lucky.
Yeah, I don't want to, I can't, you know, I don't want to put her down, but I can't tell you the number of hours I put into a lot of the projects that I've had, Phil. This is not just about J.K. Rowling. This is about, I had a book that I was going to do about dry flower arrangements and proper table centers for the holiday. They didn't publish that, and the reason was because a man writing about that is considered gay. And so Martha Stewart came along, and guess what? She makes $1 million. I was a guy. I had an idea of doing puppets, but along comes Sherry Lewis. She puts two buttons on a sock, and all of a sudden, what? She's a genius. You see, this is what's
So there's to you. There's a clear pattern.
There's a clear pattern of me getting tooled by women, even though I had the idea first. And let's remember that behind every great idea that a woman had, a guy probably had it first.
Okay, Bob, we came on to talk to you about the Harry Potter books, and we're talking about how you got screwed out of your rightful place by a woman on welfare.
I believe so. And
well, isn't that... people are going to start talking about that sour grapes?
I don't think so. I think it's just a matter... Look, she had a witch, I don't get the difference. She had witches and warlocks and evil things, and so did I. How come her book sold and Mike can't get to first base? You've got to ask yourself that question.
All right, let's get to what this Harry Potter book burning is all about. You're having a Harry Potter book burning when?
Well, we're having a series of Harry Potter book burnings, not because we're against books or against children reading, but because we are against what happens to men. And the fact that we get a good idea and along comes a woman who steals it. I wrote a magical, mystical book about a kid and, you know, the whole magical, mystical deal. It didn't get published.
Isn't it about more than magical, mystical stuff? Isn't it about the creative way that you use the characters?
I used them creatively. I had a kid and he went off and he met witches. I don't understand.
Well, it's about a good book, isn't it? Isn't it about...
This is plagiarism, Phil, on all accounts. That's why I think we should take all the Harry Potter books and burn them.
Because of you?
Because of a lot of men who had good ideas and the women got off of welfare.
Well, there's nothing against women getting off of welfare.
No, I don't disagree with that. It's just that I don't think they should do it at the expense of some man, that's all.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686 as we talk to Robert Greene, who is the author of the Mystical Mountain Trilogy, which he says is every bit as good as the Harry Potter books, except his didn't get published because he wasn't on welfare and J.K. Rowling was. 1-800-449-8686, and I really want to talk about the Harry Potter books and the translation of those into film. And I wasn't really prepared to talk about this guy's... Have you ever read this? Or was it published? It wasn't even published. The Magical Mountain Trilogy, about a kid named Billy Fisher who goes to the dark forest. His sister gets kidnapped by a witch who threatens to eat her, but the troll rescues them, and they go through the forest and meet up with a girl who has a map to the rainbow. She's up in a tower with long blonde hair, and she throws it out the window, and the kid crawls up there. In the meantime, she ate a poison apple and falls asleep. I'm not big on kids' books, so I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Earl Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
That was the whole thing.
All right, we're back with Robert Greene. What were you saying, Robert Greene, the author of the Mystical Mountain Trilogy, about the J.K. Rowling Harry Potter books that you say are not as good as the books that you wrote, and she got hers published because she was on welfare?
Well, I was about to sign on a dotted line with Paramount. I was having lunch with some of the big guns about making the movie Mystical Mountain Trilogy, making action figures and lotion, and then suddenly word comes out that this Brit chick on welfare scores. And
you were going to make Magical Mountain Mystery lotion?
Just everything. The parts of the book, there's a part where Bobby and his sister are hungry, so she goes into a house, there's three bears there, and they eat oatmeal or something. I can't remember how I wrote it, because it was a long time ago when I wrote it, but they each eat the porridge, she falls asleep in one of the bears' beds. It's a brilliant chapter, and it's one of the things that I think sets my book apart from this standard hackneyed pap that J.K. Rowling is writing, this by-the-numbers, shop-worn, as-usual kind of writing that she's done.
You think J.K. Rowling's stuff is that unoriginal?
Oh, come on. And what am I doing? I'm sitting here just like I got screwed by Sherry Lewis, just like I got screwed by Martha Stewart.
But the idea of a book burning, harkens back to Nazi Germany. That's why I am so much against that.
Well, somebody's got to make a statement.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Paul on the Phil Henry Show. Hello. Paul?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
All the folks at where I work, big corporate setting, a couple hundred people, everybody's reading Potter. No one has ever said, oh, my, I love this because it was written by a woman on welfare.
Yeah, but she never would have gotten published if she hadn't been a woman on welfare. And my Mystical Mountain Trilogy is every bit as good, if not better, than this Potter kid.
Well, everybody says that the books
are
good, well written.
Aren't you from America?
Somebody did have to get them in front of us. That's true.
Let me ask you this: You're from America.
It sounds like she had some original ideas.
Original?
I hear the three bears. I hear all kinds of stuff that I was raised on, and I'm wondering if this gentleman ever had an original idea.
Wait a minute.
Or if he's just putting together things that other people have.
Well, you got some stuff in your book. You got stuff in your book about them going through the forest.
Yeah, of course there are things that children relate to, going through the forest and a witch. But the way I put it together is original.
Three bears and porridge.
What?
Sounds pretty original.
Let me ask something, Paul. Where are you from?
Tampa, Florida.
Okay, so you're from America.
Yes, sir. Proud of it.
My character, Billy Fisher, is from America. This Potter kid comes from guess where?
Well, yeah, he comes from the homeland of my heritage.
He don't come from America, I'll tell you that. We're
quite proud of our British allies. I think they've done a wonderful job helping us in Afghanistan.
What are you
don't
talking
you?
About? We're talking about an What are you talking about? We're talking about
well,
American
I'm
kid.
Just saying that you're making an issue out of the fact that he's not from America. I'm pretty proud of our English allies.
This Potter kid comes from another country. My character, Billy Fisher,
who's looking for gold at the end of a rainbow and three bears. And a woman throwing her hair out of a tower.
Right.
Yeah. Well,
that doesn't strike you as familiar?
Familiar with what?
The first ones looking for a pot of gold came from Ireland, wasn't it?
You know, you got this real thing for Ireland and England and everything else, Paul. I'm waiting to hear some love for America coming out of you. And you
well,
love
I tell
your
you
country.
What, I'm very proud that
Billy
in America,
Fisher,
a woman who is underprivileged has the right to write something.
What's
like
the name of your book?
Get it published and doesn't complain and cry about the time that she was poor.
Oh, the heck. Then how do we know she was on welfare if she wasn't running her mouth about it every day she was on a Today Show? Blah, 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 blah. It was on welfare. Welfare this, welfare that. My Magical Mystery Tour book.
Wait a minute. What was the name of your book?
The Mystical Mountain Trilogy. Excuse me. The Mystical Mountain Trilogy.
How come you don't even know the name of your own book?
Or the name of his characters. Also, is he
I know
aware
the name
that
at one point,
Zig Ziglar
Billy
was... Zig Ziglar was extremely poor and is not afraid to get up and say, hey, I was so poor, I could sell anything because I sold my stereo, I sold my TV.
Zig
Ziglar?
There's
nothing wrong with getting up and saying, look, I made it.
Hey,
now
Paul,
you can
Paul,
too.
Paul, buddy, who's Zig Ziglar?
Well, maybe I'm a little older than you, but Zig Ziglar is a very impressive gentleman who's helped a lot of Americans get the American spirit and understand that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
And the house falls on a witch. You tell me Rowling writes something like that, I'll eat your flat hat.
All right, thank you. Paul, thank you very much. I think you made some very good points. 1-800-449...
Oh, you think you made some good points, huh?
Yes, sir. I think he made some good points about originality in terms of how things are put down in a book.
Well, I don't agree.
Bunny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to say a couple of things. First of all, women, I don't know where you've been or what you know about the past, but for the past 100 years, women couldn't even use their own name, so they had to use a man's name back a long time ago.
May I make a suggestion?
That's number one.
Well, in your case, you should use a man's name.
All right, the lady's name is Bunny.
Okay.
Whatever, okay?
Number
just
two,
making a point.
A book, you're going to have a book burning? That goes back to the days of Hitler.
Yes.
Children should not be taught or even hear about burning books of any
Absolutely.
Kind. I don't care what kind of books they are.
It really is something that...
Let me ask Bunny, do you dance?
What
no,
is
I
that?
Do not.
What's that got to do with anything?
I'm a businesswoman. I'm a director of a big company in Miami.
With a name like Bunny.
It has nothing to do with my name.
Look, you know, you're the guy with Billy Fisher going through the dark forest and everything.
Well, at least his name's Billy Fisher. It's not Bunny something. And, you know, look, I'm just kidding you, buddy, about your name. You don't dance.
No, I do not. Well, no,
Harry
I don't.
Harry Potter and all of that nonsense, big deal. Kid goes...
Listen, you should have worked a little harder to get yours out before she got hers out, because it was terrific. The books are fantastic. I saw the movie. The movie was unbelievable.
Okay, you tell me, if I get screwed out of getting my book published because of this Harry Potter, that's one thing. What about Martha Stewart? I had the idea
Please! Martha Stewart is so talented. You couldn't
talented.
Do half of what Martha
Wait
Stewart
a second.
Does.
I was the one that came
you're
out with...
You're jealous, and you're also dislike women. I can
no, no,
tell
no.
that
no,
right
ma'am,
away.
No, ma'am, I do not, okay? I've been married... I'm paying alimony to four different wives. How could I hate them?
Well, see, there you go right there. I'm really going to end this conversation.
No, I
got to
make a point with you. No, you got to let me make this one point. I came out with dry flower arrangements and table setters 2 years before this Stewart woman, if you want me to use that word, came out with her thing. That's
well,
one.
Obviously you don't know how to sell yourself because you don't
yes,
have a very
absolutely.
Good background.
And number two, Sherry Lewis sticks two buttons on a sock. Oh, she's a genius. I was doing puppet shows for years before she did it.
Well, the lady made a...
I don't remember Sherry Lewis. So look,
you don't remember Sherry Lewis? She stuck her hand in a sock and suddenly you got a lamb. That's
well,
how brilliant
I'm
she was.
I'm sorry, but the book burning thing really got me because
yes.
you're teaching children something that happened back in the days of Hitler. And
then what about
really
the,
wrong.
Wait a minute. The only reason why
that's
I'm burning
all
the
I have
Harry
to
Potter
say.
Book is because he's cheating Billy Fisher out of his rightful place at the end of the rainbow.
I'll tell you
all
one
right.
thing. If your book ever gets published, I won't read it. I don't care
oh,
what it's
yeah,
about.
Okay, so you don't want to read a good book. You just want to read crap and leave
no,
the good
No, I won't
book
read
itself.
It because of the person that I know that you are, which is a woman hater.
That's what,
obviously.
I don't hate women. Look.
Please, you've made three comments about why
I've been on the line
women...
I've been on the line longer with you, and your name's Bunny than anybody that I talked to yet since I've been
well,
on the show.
I really appreciate
if she
it.
Had a,
that's
she
all
had a,
I have to say.
You know, Bunny, this is Phil Hendry. You might find this interesting.
Yes.
Sherry Lewis's main character was named Lamb Chop.
That's
yeah,
correct.
I do remember.
That's
I just,
correct,
but
yeah.
I didn't.
Okay, now I want to ask you, Bob, because your main character, because I saw a prototype for your proposal to NBC, your main puppet character was named Meat Muff, right?
Yeah.
How do you think something like that is going to get on a kid's show?
Oh, so in other words, it's dirty.
Meat Muff? What do you think?
You know, a guy can't come up with any ideas, but there's a woman there to tell him that he can't do it. And that's
well,
what's been my experience.
Listen,
Meat
I feel
Muff
bad
is...
for you because you need to get some confidence in yourself. That's what I think.
I got total confidence.
You know, hey, listen, I've lost out on many
right, look,
jobs
buddy.
From other women and men because I
See
was a
I'm
woman.
Saying? See what I'm talking about? Because you're
and
a
I
woman.
Don't bitch about it, and I don't make calls to
All
TV right. stations. You know, and I just go on with my life, and I do the best that I can.
And Martha
That's
Stewart,
what you need to do.
And I just
Maybe you need to write a new book. Start on a new book.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to write this book. How Martha Stewart, Sherry Lewis, and J.K. Rowling gave me the tool.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one other thing. Martha Stewart ain't a genius. Cutting out paper flower arrangements.
All right, but Martha Stewart parlayed it into a major business. Bunny, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800.
You know, the thing that I don't get, Mr. Henry, is how you, as a man... would be standing up for a lot of the women.
I'm just standing up for what makes sense, not necessarily the women that are calling in. You're coming to me with your magical mountain tour, or whatever the hell this book's called, with a house that falls on a witch. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now, Bill Hendricks.
Well, we're just asking men to bring their gas barbecues to the bookstores.
If you're asking men to bring gas barbecues down to the bookstores to burn Harry Potter books, you're going to have more than just a police problem. You're going to have a fire problem.
Well, Phil, we feel very strongly about this.
Who feels strong? You and how many other men?
Well, I'm hoping to get a group of men, not right now, but I'm hoping to get a lot of men upset over the fact that I didn't get my book deal.
Well, look, pal, with all due respect, Bob, we all got our, we all have our, you know, our mountains to climb, man. You didn't get your book deal. Hey, maybe I didn't get my book deal, all right?
Yeah, but I didn't get my book deal because I had a great book that had to do with all kinds of fairies and dwarfs and everything, and J.K. Rowling gets hers. Look, pal, you got to get with the real world here. She got her book published. I don't even want to say how she got her book published, but let me just give you a hint.
What does that mean?
I think you know what I'm saying.
No, I do not know what you're saying. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Well, if you're attempting to be crude or allude to the fact that maybe she got where she is today because of favors she gave out, I think you are way, way off base. Here's Judy on the Phil Hendricks Show. Hello.
Oh, you know better than me, huh?
Look, I know a little bit about the business world. Yes, Judy, go ahead.
Hi. He needs to quit whining. He's just a big crybaby. And I have a suggestion.
I'm a crybaby. I wrote a book about a kid chasing a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
You know what, though? I have a suggestion for you. If you're so mad about these females getting these contracts instead of you, why don't you just go get yourself a female agent? Maybe she can get the contracts for you.
Hey, I'll tell you why they gave the job to J.K. Rowling, because she was on welfare. They felt sorry for her. They're not feeling sorry for me.
You know
Even
what?
Though my book, she's got Harry Potter and a wizard. I got Billy Fisher and a dwarf and a troll and a woman throwing her hair out of a tower. Are you laughing at me? See, that's nothing. Women laugh. What do you got, pneumonia?
You know what, though?
You got anthrax?
You know what?
You might want to get to a doctor before you talk to me about anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, though? If you got a female agent, maybe you could get some of these contracts. The publishers have no idea what her personal life was. They don't know what her personal life was before she...
Is that right? And that's, so now all of a sudden it's coming as a newsflash to him, huh?
Well,
all right,
you know,
okay.
You need to quit whining.
Hey, look it. I got screwed by Martha Stewart,
you need
Sherry
to
Lewis,
quit whining
and
about women.
Some guy may think that that's really a lot of fun. Believe me, it doesn't feel good.
All right, thanks for your call. Here is Jessica on the Phil Hendricks Show. Hello. Jessica, hello. Yes, go ahead.
Is it? Oh, 3 points. A. You didn't get your book deal. Hell, I didn't win the lottery last week.
Did you buy a ticket?
Heck yeah, I did. I played my round. But, you know, the thing that you keep going back about is, you know, really the sour grapes attitude. If I were an agent or a publishing company, I wouldn't even want to work with you, much less publish a book.
Why?
And all your ideas that you have in your book, they sound very familiar. Rapunzel, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh,
thirdly,
and Harry
the
Potter
third thing,
sound,
too.
And that doesn't sound, Harry Potter doesn't sound like every other kid story you ever heard.
You know, it's a free-for-all. And if you can't be a man and play the game and not be such a poor loser, then you don't even play the game.
How come I come out with a puppet act? How come I come out with a puppet act and everybody tells me to go pound sand?
You know, I don't care about the puppet act. I don't care. That's a different scenario.
I do, because Sherry Lewis stole it from me.
Wait a second. There were puppeteers long before Sherry Lewis and you.
Thank you.
I was the first one to put a sock puppet on TV, not her.
Well, you're going to want to put a sock in it because, gosh, some of you are saying about this chick are pretty slanderous. The last thing I wanted to point out is...
Let me say it again. J.K. Rowling's writing sucks, and I have a better book than hers. You want me to say it again just in case she wants to sue and she didn't hear it? J.K. Rowling, you suck.
You didn't do that. You said you thought that she probably gave out sexual favors.
Yeah, that's my opinion.
Well, and I hear your opinion, and unfortunately, your opinion isn't worth a whole lot of money or publishing contracts, so I guess that's going to be a problem
even though
in the future.
I got a book, even though I got a book with a kid who goes to the forest and everything.
You know, I got a book.
Yeah, did you write it? I wrote mine. I wrote mine about a kid who goes to the forest.
Look, so far, all your kid has done is gone through a forest and gotten eaten by a witch and something else about a yellow brick road.
Yeah?
It's like you took out the old fables books and took a little bit of everything. But
Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
And I'll hang up.
Harry Potter doesn't remind you of Dennis the Menace. Yeah, right.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't remind me of Dennis the Menace.
Well, and you're
I
want
to make one last comment.
Go ahead, ma'am.
In terms of writing, you know, one thing that make writers gifted and very profitable and famous is their ability to connect with their readers.
Let me ask you something.
You can't
connect
with people over the phone, much less in a book.
Wait a minute. Are you a writer or something? How do you know? You're giving me the lowdown? I wrote magical mystery.
An unpublished writer.
At least I wrote the mystical magical mountain book.
Well, I don't think
go ahead, laugh all you want. I wrote the.
Yeah, what did you write?
I wrote.
What's the name of your book?
The magical mountain.
What is it?
Harry Potter destroy a Death Star? No, my character does. Does Harry Potter find a witch underneath a house? No, my character does. You're sicking me.
You know something, pal? What you need to do is, first of all, figure out what the name of the book is that you wrote.
You know, Mr. Henry, you're taking sides with these women.
What's the name of the book that you wrote?
The Magical Mountain.
The Magical Mountain.
The Magical Mountain Mystery.
No.
What is it?
How should I know? You're the guy that you're the guy that wrote it.
It's the Mystical Mountain Trilogy.
There you go. Did you have to look at your notes?
Yes, sir. It's been a long time since I wrote the book.
Here is Linda on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Linda.
How are you doing?
Fine.
I actually thought that you were a comedian and you were brought on just to get everybody riled up about this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so, too. Especially when you start talking, Mr. Green, about Rapunzel.
Look it. I wrote a book. It was a damn good book. J.K.
Okay,
Rowling, she gets
did you get it published? Has it
no,
been published?
You want to know why? You want to know why it didn't get published?
Well, nothing
they published
because
hers first.
No, well, how long ago did you write yours?
1989.
Okay, so you can't remember the title, but you had probably about 7 or 8 years before she did to even try and get it published.
That's right, and they didn't want to publish mine. And then she, first of all, she wrote hers in 1990.
Okay,
I find that's
on the other side of the. She lives on the other side of the ocean. Obviously, if you keep saying, I have not heard that she was on welfare or relief or whatever they call it in England. But, you know,
welfare. And she's doing that workfare deal.
I don't quite think so.
You got a book here that says Dark Forest, Billy Takes His Sister, Gets Kidnapped by a Witch. That sounds like Hansel and Gretel. Throws her hair out the tower. That sounds like Rapunzel. And then they eat a poison apple and falls asleep, and the kid kisses her, and she wakes up. That sounds like Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, well, I don't care what you think it sounds like. I'm telling you, I wrote that stuff. That's original material that I've got copyrighted to the United States Library of Congress.
Well, you're talking about her plagiarizing you. How would she even have access to your notes if you had not published anything?
Because word of mouth is a very strong thing. I write something real strong.
And you live in L.A.?
She's going to want to find out about it and steal it.
You're in California?
Yeah, I'm in San Diego.
Okay,
an author in London stole your idea about a woman with long hair throwing it out of a tower. Don't you realize that that happened to have been written 300 years ago?
You know something? I take this stuff, but it's interesting what I do with it. That original story sucked. But I got
a
kid going through
a
forest. He almost gets eaten by a witch and meets the chick with the long hair. Come on.
Can I ask you a question, personal question of your age?
What about
how
my
old
age?
You are? Oh, how old you are?
How old are you?
I'm 51.
Okay.
Well, what's that got to do with anything?
Well,
all right, look, Linda,
question,
thank you. All right, thank you for your call. We got to move on. Here is Mindy on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Mindy. What do you mean, how old is she?
Mr. Green.
How old are you?
Mr. Green.
How old are you?
Mr. Green.
How old are you?
Mr. Green, you're a male chauvinist pig. Communist.
86.
I am British,
86.
And I am 45 years old, and I want to tell you, just leave the kids alone and get off this show, and you are ruining it.
Would
Goodbye.
You do us a favor, go back to England, you dyke?
1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Here Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I was getting on the elevator today to come upstairs, and I noticed what was wrong with my wristwatch. I have a wristwatch that I bought in the U.S. Virgin Islands last summer when we went down to the Caribbean for a cruise. And in a jewelry store there was a watch called either a Tag Wear or a Tag Heuer. Those of you who are watch aficionados know the watch that I'm talking about. I know nothing of watches. In fact, I don't know anything about jewelry. I don't really, other than rocks and stones that I see that I think are really pretty, and I'll say, gee, how much is that? $10,000. Okay, goodbye. But my wife said to me, oh, that's a watch I want you to have, this Tag Heuer. She says, you really got to get this watch because in the Virgin Islands, it's about half the price it would be in the United States. You don't pay any duty down in the Virgin Islands. And had we bought it on the Netherlands Antilles, it would have been probably another $300 less from that because there's some duty that you don't pay down there, and then you also don't pay some other thing. Well, I went ahead and I bought it. And I will go ahead and I'll tell you right now that it's a $2,000 watch. I am not accustomed to spending that kind of money for a watch. I've never spent that kind of money for a watch. I bought the best watch that I ever had was a Reebok. A Reebok watch on a leather band, and I had that watch for years, and I had it on the U.S. Virgin Islands when we went into this jewelry store, and my wife said, oh, you have to get the Tag Heuer. Everybody's wearing it. I said, okay, so we bought this thing, and the very disinterested and rude Caribbean saleswoman behind the counter, you know, boxed it up for us. And if you've never traveled to the Caribbean, the people there are rude and disinterested. It's just a fact of life. It's not a bias that I have. It's not a prejudice that I have. I'm not misreading the situation. I don't have a cultural problem. They are rude and disinterested in the Caribbean. I don't know why that is. Perhaps it is a holdover from some anti-colonialist attitude that they have. I could probably understand it on a number of levels, and I'm sure that they are completely justified in feeling the way that they feel and in acting the way that they act. But the bottom line is they're rude, disinterested, and it's really not a very fun place to vacation. But we went there because the kids wanted to go. So I buy the watch. I bring it back here. What do you think? What is this? It was June, July, August, September, October, November, December. It's been 5 months, and pieces are starting to fall off of it. Under the glass here, on the face of the watch, the little tiny silver strips of metal that mark whether it's 10 after or 5 after, they're starting to fall apart, and it's starting to jam the mechanism, and now the watch doesn't work. There are bits and pieces falling off the face of it. And, of course, Craig asked me the very cogent and relevant question, do you have the receipt? Do you have the warranty? And my answer to him was an unequivocal, I don't know. I don't know. I bought it down there, and I don't know what we have. And maybe I was too rough with it, and maybe I banged it around, and maybe I just live my life, and maybe I'm just a human being going about my life, and I'm supposed to, what am I supposed to do with this? What do you mean I banged it around? Am I supposed to massage it every night before I go to bed? Got to lay it on maybe silk instead of just cotton? Are you supposed to kiss it goodnight? Are you supposed to chant over it? What am I supposed to do? Is this late? Should I go get Harry Potter and they cast a spell on the freaking thing? So I say that to say only, for $2,000, I ought to be able to run it over with a freaking car. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I guess I'll go to the jewelry store, and they'll say, do you have the sales slip, sir? No, I don't. Do you have your warranty? No, I don't. Well, and a lot of the Tag Heuer can do for you. But boy, oh boy, I don't spend dough. I don't drive an expensive car. I don't spend a lot of money on things like that. The car that I have, if you knew the kind of car that I drove, my kids are embarrassed by the car that I drive. They're embarrassed. I picked a couple of them up from a football dinner they had the other night. Guys had a dinner before their big game Friday night. The offensive line, they all get together, they have a dinner. And the kids call me up. They say, can you come pick us up? I said, sure. I pick up one of the guys and one of the other kids, the star running back for the team. And they have to cram into my piece of crap car. But I can't bring myself to buy another car with the economy the way that it is, you know, with things as, you know, Maria has her SUV, she's got her mom SUV, and I drive the garbage can. There's Maria's car and there's the garbage can. I climb into the garbage can every morning and she gets into her car. And I drive the garbage can to work, and she drives her car off to where she drives her car off to. I can't spend money on a new car these days because I'm like every other consumer. I'm being tight with my dough. I know the president said go spend your money. Easier said than done, Charlie. Let me tell you something. When they stop laying people off, then I'll start spending my money again. How about that? You guys want me to spend my money, but you're laying off 3,000, 5,000, and 10,000 at a clip. Tell you what, stop laying them off, and I'll start spending some money with your company. You keep laying them off, I ain't going to spend any money.
Well, then we're going to lay off more.
Then I ain't going to spend any money. I don't need to spend that kind of money for a car. Now, the one that I want to get either that EV1 or that hybrid from Honda. Because I got this whole 60s mentality. You know, I'm just a refried hippie who, I want to give back to the environment. I don't know what it is. More than anything else, after what we've been through since September the 11th, I am so absolutely determined to do something in my life to get myself off of that Middle East juice I could scream. I don't know what it is. I figure it's the EV1. I figure it's the electrical car or a hybrid or something. I don't know what, man, but I don't want to drive a gasoline-powered car anymore. I'm just dying to hang out with Ed Begley and Mike Farrell. All right, anyway, everybody's looking at me with a blank stare, and I don't blame them. Who are they? I don't know. Here is Dave. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Dave?
Hey, Phil, I think you ought to check the spelling on your watch. I've had a Tag for years. It's a great diving watch. It's nearly indestructible. I think you might have one valve too many on the face of that watch.
How do you spell it?
I think it's H-E-U-E-R. I can't think off the top of my head if I'm wearing it, but it's a great watch. They were originally diving watches that got upgraded to jewelry watches for basically active men.
It's a tremendous watch.
Indestructible.
Well, not this.
Let me ask you, where did you
buy yours?
I got mine at a regular jewelry store.
I think it's a knockoff, huh?
I bet yours is a knockoff. I hate to tell you that, but I'm sure it is. Bring it to a jewelry store and see what they say, and then report back to us.
H-E-U-E-R. Tag Heuer.
And
it says Swiss made since 1860. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, it's right there. Swiss made since 1860. Sapphire crystal. 200 meters. Says on the back of the watch.
I know, and I'm sure it came from a flea market in the Bahamas and shipped to the Virgin Islands with no duty.
Well, let me ask you something. So in other words, it's a knockoff being made where? In the Virgin Islands? How do you know yours is real? I mean, I got mine in a box, a Tag Heuer box. I got the box at home someplace. I don't know. Maybe I've got the warranty card someplace.
Well, I get mine from the only way I know it's from an authorized Tag dealer. You go on the Tag website, they'll tell you which watchmakers in the world are allowed to sell their watches legitimately and which ones give you the warranty. You should have got a little warranty card with it, like a little magnetic strip in the back.
You know, the closest I got to diving with mine, my wife dropped a wine cooler in the hot tub, and I went down and got it. But that one, no 200 meters. All right, listen, that's a very good... In other words, what you're saying is, Hendry, you idiot. And you're right.
Hendry, you got ripped off.
You're right.
I hate
you're
to
right.
tell you.
All right, I'm going to go find my Tag dealer and... Say Tag, you're it.
At least
you can have the watch
have
back.
Happy Caribbeans.
Okay, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. What did he tell me? At least I was an asshole. What? Okay. Craig is completely befuddled today. 1-800. Thank you, Caribbean. Thank you, beautiful U.S. Virgin Islands. One more reason why I ain't going back, except to get my money back on this Tag Queer watch. Phil Hendry Show.